Good morning, this is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. President-elect Donald Trump has upended many typical Washington conventions, both during the campaign and more recently in his transition period. From international relations to science and environmental policy, predicting exactly what the Trump presidency will look like is a challenging task.
That's especially true when it comes to economic forecasting. But experienced economists say they are able to extrapolate some details. Gus Fauché is the senior vice president and senior macroeconomist for PNC Financial Services. They're based in Pittsburgh. He was in Milwaukee recently, and he stopped by the Lake Effect studio to look ahead at the Trump era and how it might compare to other presidential transitions.
Normally, I would say that the forecast doesn't change much depending on who wins the election. I think this time around is very different. We have a president-elect who has kind of uprooted a lot of the basics that we've had for economic policy, particularly in terms of trade, particularly in terms of immigration. So I think that we could see some of the biggest changes in economic policy in the post-World War II era. Obviously, a lot of it depends on what happens with Congress, but we are going to be looking at the forecast and perhaps making some substantive changes to it depending on what we get from President-elect Trump.
Is it too early to say what that forecast is going to look like?
I think we could see a little bit stronger growth in the near term. I think the potential for tax cuts, I think the potential for stronger infrastructure spending do raise the possibility that growth will be a little bit stronger, not as much in 2017, but more in 2018. It takes time for legislative changes like this to have an effect. So it could be that we would see stronger economic growth in 2018. It also means the possibility that we could see higher inflation. Inflation has been very low for the past few years. The Federal Reserve has set a 2% target. Inflation has been well below that. But if we get more aggressive fiscal policy, tax cuts, more federal spending, the job market is tight. And if it gets even tighter, then we could see stronger inflation. Again, less so in 2017, more so in 2018.
Now, there is a lot of talk about a potential financial stimulus or what amounts to a potential financial stimulus in the early days of a Trump administration. Where do you see the economy today? I guess the question I have is how would a stimulus impact the economy today in comparison to what the stimulus did as we were coming out of the fairly steep recession about a decade ago?
Yeah, I think that the situation is much different now than it was when President Obama took office. So in 2009, we were in the midst of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. You know, we'd had enormous job losses. We had unemployment rate of 10%. And so that's a time when you would expect to see a big fiscal stimulus package. And we did have a big fiscal stimulus package, and that did support economic growth. Now, with President-elect Trump coming in, the economy is actually in pretty good shape. So we have an unemployment rate that is well below 5%. We have the economy expanding. We have solid job growth. And so if we do get fiscal stimulus, I think that there's less opportunity for that to significantly improve job growth than we had 8 years ago. And so it's kind of, in that respect, it's kind of an odd time to get a big fiscal stimulus package.
The news agency Reuters, in just the past couple of days, released the results of a poll showing many economists, a significant majority in the poll, think Mr. Trump's campaign rhetoric on trade and putting up barriers to trade amounts to basically campaign rhetoric. And they don't expect much significant change. What do you see from a Trump administration as far as international trade goes?
It's a very open question right now. I mean, obviously, that for many Trump voters, that was their primary concern. So I think he has to do something on trade. The question is it more show or is it more substance? I think if we see more show, then the implications are pretty small. If there's more substance, then some people are going to benefit from those trade restrictions. Other people are going to be hurt by them. So, it's an open question right now. I think it would be better from an overall economic perspective. I think that free trade is generally better for the U.S. economy, although there are people who are hurt by it. So I would like to see fewer trade restrictions. But it's a question of how much does Trump Trump honestly believe in this? And he's been all over the place on a lot of these issues. What do his voters expect? And so I think that that's still a very open question at this point.
You said your analysis is that the economy is actually in pretty good shape right now. What do you make of the storyline from so many of voters who vaulted Donald Trump into office that that while the economy might be in good shape, it's not in good shape for them?
I think that that's a really fair criticism. I think that the economy has been expanding since 2009, but during the current economic expansion and during, over the past 30, 40 years that we have seen the economy expand, but the benefits haven't been shared equally, that there have been workers who have been hit hard by globalization. There are workers who feel that they haven't gotten a fair share of economic growth and they have legitimate concerns. So these are demographic groups. So we think of high school graduates who are out working but may not have a college degree, particular geographic areas, including Milwaukee and Wisconsin, which was obviously an epicenter of the presidential election, but throughout the Great Lakes region more generally. And they feel and they have legitimate concerns that they have not been helped by globalization, that it has in fact hurt them, and that their concerns weren't being listened to. So I think that while the overall economy looks to be in pretty good shape, there are significant pockets that have not benefited from that, and they have legitimate concerns.
Does that make the intersection of economic forecasting and political forecasting especially challenging?
Yes. Certainly. And so, we tend to look at broad numbers. We look at the overall unemployment rate. We look at job growth. But questions about, well, what jobs are we creating? What's wage growth in those jobs? What do they pay? Which areas of the country are doing better? Which areas of the country are doing worse? And so I think if you are a college graduate, has a good set of skills, then yes, you're doing fine. You're benefiting from rising stock values. You benefit from lower prices because of imports. If you are a construction worker, if you're a manufacturing worker, you've been hit hard by the downturn in housing, you've been hit hard by globalization, and you're not seeing the benefits of that economic growth.
What about, you were talking about employment before, and we are very close to approaching full employment. Does that necessarily translate to the bottom line for the economy, for the workers?
I think we are seeing some benefits of that for workers. So wage growth, for example, has picked up significantly over the past couple of years. So for people who do have a job, they are seeing higher wages, and that's supporting consumer spending. So that certainly that's good news there. And I think that is going to continue as the unemployment rate stays below 5%. That being said, many people are earning less now than they did before the Great Recession. Maybe they were laid off and shifted to a different industry. And so their wages are higher than they were a year or two ago, but they're still below where they were during the Great Recession. So again, I think that some people are benefiting from the expanding economy, but people feel that over the longer run that they've been falling further behind, and I think that they have legitimate grievances there.
So as an economist, what will you be looking at most closely in Donald Trump's first 100 days?
I think the key things are, what does he do on taxes? So do we see changes in the corporate tax structure? Do we see changes in the personal income tax structure? Where are those changes oriented to? Are they oriented towards high income earners? Are they oriented towards the middle class? Second thing I'm going to be looking at is trade. What trade restrictions does Trump propose? Are they going to have a significant impact on imports? What are the implications of that for prices, for inflation, for consumer spending? Do we see retaliation from overseas that hurt U.S. exports? And then I think over the longer run, what I'm going to be looking for is immigration. Obviously, that was a key issue for the Trump campaign. Immigration is a key source of long-run economic growth in the United States. So if we see a significant reduction in immigration levels into the U.S., that could raise concerns about long-run economic growth.
And of course, none of this happens unilaterally. Congress is a big part of the picture.
That's right. And in some respects, President-elect Trump has run against the traditional Republican policies. So in terms of trade, I think that there's a significant division between President-elect Trump and congressional Republicans. And so I think that, that we'll have to see how that plays out. I think on tax cuts, maybe less of a disagreement. Infrastructure spending. Congressional Republicans generally have opposed those types of big spending federal programs. So we'll have to see how that plays out and what cooperation they're able to negotiate.
How does all this show itself in a place like Wisconsin and in the Midwest?
Obviously, the Midwest, Wisconsin, is manufacturing intensive. So there are a lot of firms here that are both exposed to global competition, but also export abroad. So I think that the outlook is somewhat mixed there. If we see significant trade restrictions, that could be good news for Wisconsin manufacturers that face import competition, commodity type products, that can be produced anywhere. On the other hand, there are some Wisconsin manufacturers that have kind of niche markets and are very exposed to the international economy in terms of exports. And so if we see a significant trade war, if we see the U.S. raising tariffs and other countries raise tariffs in response, then those companies could be hit hard. And we tend to think of those as companies that tend to pay higher wages, that tend to have more skilled manufacturing workers. So I think it's a mixed picture. Obviously, Wisconsin is a state that was that feels the effects of globalization very much so. And so I think that it's going to be a microcosm of the types of effects that we see nationally.
And very much a microcosm of voter sentiment in the past election.
That's correct. Obviously, a close election in Wisconsin. I think that there is a lot of voters in Wisconsin who feel that globalization has not been to their benefit. And I think that that's one of the factors that President-elect Trump played on.
Going to be an interesting first 100 days, interesting first 1,000 days.
Very much so.
Gus Fauché, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Gus Fauché is Senior Vice President and Senior Macroeconomist for PNC Financial Services based in Pittsburgh. He spoke with Mitch Teich.